Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Just throw the clothes out.
Well, you could do
that. I was going to say that.
Right, yeah. You do the Great Gatsby, just throw them out as soon as you wear
them. I once went to the Olympics, in Norway.
Right.
The Olympics in Lillehammer.
The Lillehammer jacket. Right.
Where it costs so much to use the cleaning service in Lillehammer.
It's cheaper to just buy
new bought clothes. New. Everybody bought new.
Yep.
Just left the stuff there and bought new.
Have you considered purchasing your own dry cleaning establishment?
I don't want to do that. I got this. I'm going down the drain with chatter. I don't want to do that.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
We are live. You're listening to this. It's not live. When we're doing this, this is live.
Well, unless you're in the room.
Not live.
Unless you're in the room.
We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, inside the district line in the capital of the United States of America. We have a nice crowd today, but a slight crowd today.
Thank you for showing up.
But here's what we're going to do. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be open at 7 o'clock in the morning for the rest of the time.
Come get some.
Every weekday for breakfast. So you can come
in
here.
Which, by the way, could be a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We're going.
Yeah. Well, this is what I wanted to say. My first note was, are we still here? Has North Korea bombed us yet? Or has Irma killed us? Yeah. And if neither of those two things are happening,
good.
Then we're still here.
Board, we're broken.
Chris Saliza is here. Gary Braun is here. Nigel is running the board. Michael Kornheiser, who bills himself on apparently InstaFace as the CGO, the chief grilling officer of the show.
Thanks for noticing.
Is here. I haven't seen him in a while. I just want to get to some things. We have a bunch of weddings that we never talked about. Marie and Daniel got married in Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Congratulations.
On March 12th.
That was
a
good one.
That was a long time ago.
That was fun. I like that. Had a lot to
drink. Holly Maurice McClure and Joseph Allen Martin got married on the 20th of May in Jekyll Island, Georgia.
Beautiful.
We didn't get to that. Chris Lau writes, please find enclosed an item I hope you can add to the prize closet. The enclosed T-shirt reads Quaker Nation. I have not seen this. An ode to my alma mater, also Michael's, the University of Pennsylvania. While we are all too familiar with phrases like Sheena Parveen Nation and Redskin Nation, I believe that this is the first time, perhaps since the mid-18th century, that we have seen the term Quaker Nation. As always, thanks for the laughs. Do not read my name on the law. On the air. Chris Lau, twin brother of Alex Lau from New York City. We have from Brad Ayer in Henderson, Kentucky, inviting us to the graduation ceremonies at Eastern Kentucky University. Is that not also the alma mater of Billy Peel, Michael?
It is, yes.
Eastern Kentucky. So we miss that because that took place some time ago. We have notes here. Stephen and Trish Crawford decided to come to Chatter for my 48th birthday. So that was very nice. Enclosed in this bag is some homemade salsa from fellow little Christian Javorak and his wife, Julie Scanlon. Did we get this, Nigel? I don't know that we've gotten these things.
Have you noticed that
there's
a lot missing from the gifts? Someone sent me an 18-karat gold necklace.
The Ackley family, we are proud to celebrate our son's high school graduation. A shout-out and a sticker would be appreciated. I mean, this is in April. Michael Ackley graduating in May will continue his studies at Butler University, although SUNY Binghamton was a contender, too. Well, we didn't get it, of course. 2007. Okay, 2007. Oh, Holy Cross High School, then. That reminds me,
if I can just interject briefly. I know we're going to do what I did on my summer vacation.
Yes, we're going to do that in a second.
But the family and I went to Columbia, South Carolina for totality, for the eclipse thing, as I mentioned.
Beautiful.
Did you see Bonnie Tyler?
No, she sang on the boat.
She sang on the boat. It was a cruise. It's a double whammy.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
That was brutal. I love that song. I love Bonnie Tyler.
Right. Not in her prime.
But had you been watching.
That's like me hitting wedges.
Who wants to come out and see me chip?
It was awful.
I did not see Bonnie Tyler, but had you been watching the CBS affiliate in Columbia at 1 p.m. on that day, you would have seen the Braun family, who were interviewed live on television, and I was rocking my Binghamton Bearcats.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So I did tweet it out to a bunch of the littles who got to see me. Were very proud to see me rocking the Binghamton shirt.
Marshall Puffer in Boston, Massachusetts, writing to invite you to my wedding to the woman I will soon be related to through marriage at the Omni Mountain Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, on April 8th, 2017. So we seem to have missed that one.
Still doing the show in April. How'd you miss all of these?
Do we have anything from 2015?
Elizabeth Florence to Marshall Hallie Puffer. So we missed all of those. We also have
a big sign here
from the Little Littles. These are Littles in Damascus, Maryland. Dear Mr. Tony, this restaurant stinks. Right on Wisconsin, right on Route 27, right on Sweepstakes, right on cut sale, I guess this is. Regina says this. This is, I don't know where it is. Damascus, Maryland. We'll put this up.
Damascus.
Okay,
yeah,
so now we can throw all this stuff out because we've announced it. I'm very pleased to have done that. And now we can get to the way we begin the first show of the new calendar year. This is the fiscal year for us. This is the first show of the second year
of the actual podcast.
And we begin with what
can
people
we guess?
Did.
Oh, okay. You
Let's start. You went to Notre Dame over the weekend.
Oh, my God. Did we have a
Brian Polian
for the ages. Compliments of our now good friend, Coach Brian Polian, who, had I known what a sycophant of the program he was, I would not have gone. Frankly, it was scary. He's a little scary.
That's great, though.
TK great sticker on the fridge at home for his birthday. His lovely wife, Laura, got him the TK sponsor prize pack featuring Harry's razors, Indochino suit, me undies, Boll & Branch sheets. She like got him stuff from all the sponsors.
Did you sleep on the sheets in his
room?
I did not.
No, no. We got a hotel, although he was very kind. I'm sure he would have made the home available to us. And we had just a, you know,
You showed pictures. You have your daughter posing with
the
leprechaun.
The pictures were
the Notre Dame leprechaun.
The access, it's weird.
Chris is smirking because he went to Georgetown, so he's got to hate Notre Dame.
Let me say this.
Look, it's a leprechaun.
Worst.
I will say this.
Get out of here.
Have
you seen Touchdown Jesus?
I'm a bigger Brian Polian fan than I am a Notre Dame fan. I didn't grow up a Notre Dame fan. My dad was a Long Island Jew.
I was a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, you were?
Because growing up on Long Island, the only two football teams you can root for in those days were Army and Notre Dame, and I rooted for Notre Dame.
Okay. Let's be honest. So the kid that Gary just showed, the leprechaun. The kid who plays it.
There's three of them. When you say the kid, there's three of them.
Whatever. They're the
student athlete.
They're the worst. You can guarantee that kid is terrible. He like wears the leprechaun thing to parties.
Hey, everybody.
You hate him and you hate the Syracuse Orange Man, don't you?
I hate all of Syracuse should be bombed into. I mean, can North Korea reach Syracuse with a missile yet?
And the kids pose
able,
with coaches.
So Lizza would be able to withstand it, I think, but I would defy most people who are agnostic. I wasn't anti Notre Dame. But, man, it's easy to be converted, especially an opening weekend like that, and they were unveiling the new
Spike
stadium.
Spike and Ike were with the coach.
Spike and Ike on the field, as was Sidney on the field with Coach Polian.
How great is this?
And he gave us a tremendous tour, you know, touched the Play Like a Champion sign, saw their facility. I don't know how, if you were being recruited by...
How could you refuse?
By Notre Dame, you could refuse. Right. I mean, the facilities...
Well, some of the other schools give you money.
...are ridiculous.
They just hand you...
It's a big envelope of cash.
Short of that.
Hundreds for you.
And we had just a phenomenal time. I mean, I cannot thank him enough. In fact, I promised him that next time he came to town, he could come on the show, and it was very important to him that he doesn't just get that little bit part where he interviewed him for a segment. He wanted to sit in. I said, you're sitting in. Next time you come, you're sitting in.
Now, Chris, what have you? We have missed you because you've been working all summer on CNN.
Out here grinding.
You told me that you went and played Avenue.
I played Avenue on Sunday. It was wonderful. Off the tee, right into the swamp on one. I never played with these folks before. Right into the swamp.
How did you hook up with people?
There are three dads who I played with of kids at my son's Tony prep school who are members at Avenel.
Oh, okay. Because they have a lot of corporate memberships at Avenel.
It was great. Yeah. It was beautiful.
It's long.
We walk the first nine with caddies.
And it's a tough job for the caddy.
Caddies were all over. They were left, right, left, right.
I lay 12 about halfway into the first hole, but I rounded into shape. I need a walking Michael Kornheiser lesson because
Michael's available for about $200.
I will pay it because I am not good at golf, but it was really fun. I hit the driver Michael has loaned me. He doesn't know permanently.
Yeah, I want that back.
That's not coming back. But it was great. I loved it. It was beautiful. Saturday was beautiful. It wasn't, as nice as Phoenix, but it was nice.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
I'm ready.
I watched a lot of Nats games.
Yeah, me too.
I never saw you in the Saliza seats all summer.
What's that guy
happened? Who's
There's
your boy?
There's a real falling out, I guess. Kevin Huff doesn't.
What happened?
And he was in them. I saw him with other people.
Not you.
You would think that you would want cable television quasi-celebrity Chris Cillizza in your seats to raise your Q profile.
Well, I think, yes.
Sipping wine. No, we didn't get invited. So that hurts.
Oh, speaking of invitations, I should point out, excuse me, Chris, I'm sorry. Please tell more Notre Dame stories. Kevin Riggs, longtime Little, reached out and invited the family to join his tailgate. We went and had a beer and a conversation with he and his lovely wife, Chrissy, I think her
this
name
was in Notre Dame.
Yes, at the pregame. I just wanted to give a shout out to him.
That's good.
Everyone was very nice to us on the road. I bet. You get a lot of why so much to Lizza. A lot of people ask me that. But generally speaking, fans are, Little's the show, very, very nice to us.
Michael, you've been busy with Bootsy the baby.
We're now 10 weeks into our wonderful life with this little kid, and every single day is
walking
the
yet?
Exact
has
same.
No,
he's not walking yet.
Is he crawling yet? Because exactly. I'm not allowed to see him.
I'm doing some strength conditioning. I like to hold him up by his armpits and let him sort of paddle his feet around on my thighs to get some strength.
Can he go to his left? When we last met, he could only roll right.
Right.
No, he actually only goes left now.
Oh, he goes left.
He rolls over.
He is rolling over.
Can he be stopped from rolling over?
Can he do the full 360 or he only rolls 180?
No, but he's definitely getting pretty heavy. I'm developing lower back pain, so I need some advice from Gary because he do the wide-legged squat to pick up everything.
Hold him.
And you're beginning to just sort of let gravity hold the kid to your chest as you try and maneuver around the
house.
People
ask me all the time, and they do. They say, how's it being a grandfather? How's your grandson? I say, I'm not allowed to see him.
Well, that's for the best.
I just don't know. I see the pictures.
You have visiting rights.
The pictures
are
posted.
Yeah, they were out of town for a couple
weeks.
And
I always write, I like the pictures.
Right.
I like them. And they're lovely pictures, and he's beginning to develop a face and not like just the sort of generic baby face and all of that.
A little bit of a beard, stubble.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I'm waiting for teeth. And what I'm waiting for is a phone call that says, all right, let's go, let's play.
Right.
You know, hey, it's Bootsy. I figure by 3, it's Bootsy, let's play. I'm in the cart, and I'd let him drive, but I'm not sure. He's going to be big. I'm not sure he's going to be able to drive at 3.
Won't reach the pedals.
Yeah, I don't think so. Is there anything you want to tell me about him? Because I've missed him.
Well, so in full transparency, I bring him over once a week to your house, and you go into the other room. You refuse to hold him. When we leave, you say, okay, this was great, and you give him a kiss on the cheek.
And I touch him.
Or you touch him.
Little poke.
But you never engage. You never want to hold him.
Everybody else, to be fair, everybody else wants to hold him.
But that's, you know, you're
his grandfather. In a way, you're being selfless.
And it's said of me often, I am a selfless
that's
human being.
Biggest surprise. So we have a shared photo stream of all these photos. Biggest surprise that you have somehow figured out not only how to access the photos, but how to heart them and comment on the photos.
Oh, that surprises
me. We open with all this nonsense about my trip and Chris's golf, and your dad is liking stuff.
You know how to use Instagram?
I know how to press like. No, I don't know how to use Instagram.
What does he use it?
No, this is on a shared photo.
I just say like.
Yes.
I press like.
Yep.
Nigel, you left the country.
I did leave the country.
Back to your home.
Which is dodgy.
Did something Michael Phelps has never done while he was there, too.
He
actually swam with sharks.
I went to the Bahamas for a few days. It was a spur-of-the-moment trip. And I got this I was at a resort called Atlantis, which
is
lovely.
A resort called Atlantis.
Oh, is that one of those
all-inclusive?
It's the place in the Atlantis resort.
Yeah, it's just magnificent. Great beaches, pools, and all sorts of activities you can do.
And it is not all-inclusive.
Well, I tried to introduce that to the resort, and they were not big fans of that. Yeah. And one of the things that you can do there is you can walk with the sharks. And they've got a shark tank. They've got this huge aquarium.
Walk with the sharks.
What about run?
I thought it initially said talk with the sharks. It would be great. We could work out our differences. But you actually get a diving suit on. And it's not like a mask or something. It's like a prehistoric helmet that you put on. And they've got a tank attached to
it. Like those old school dive helmets.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
and then
I've
you climb down.
That's
like a Jacques Cousteau kind of
vibe. Very much like Jacques Cousteau. And then you climb down this ladder into the tank. And the weight of everything keeps you down on the floor. And then you walk around. And there's about, I don't know, 20, 25 sharks.
Actual sharks?
Actual sharks.
Not man-eating sharks.
Great whites, hammerheads, mako, tiger.
Mostly great whites.
Did they touch you?
No, and what they tell you is you're walking down, and like, now you can't touch the sharks, but if they want to touch you, that's all right.
No.
Wait a minute, no, that's all right with me. Right. And no, they're Caribbean reef sharks and some nurse sharks. Now, the nurse sharks are just sitting in the corner, and the moment you talk
to the nurse sharks are being, they're waiting for the people of the police in Utah to take them
away. Draw blood.
The moment you start walking towards them, they just move away. They're like, we don't want to be bothered with you. But the reef sharks are all swinging around. And
sizing you up.
Yeah, they're about, I would say, I don't know, Gary, you've seen some of the pictures. I don't know, about 7 feet long, 8 feet long shark.
You didn't send me any pictures to see if I would like
them. Pictures?
No, I didn't send you.
I didn't get any pictures.
Well, I'll show you the pictures in the break, but it was.
I don't care in the break.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, no.
It was absolutely terrifying, but it was thrilling at the same time. The Magnificent, they didn't bother you whatsoever. They just swim around, and you're down there for about 20 minutes.
And these are the Bahamas.
Down in the Bahamas,
is it not too hot in the Bahamas?
No, it was
not for the sharks.
No, not for the sharks. Were fine. No, it was glorious down there. They were concerned about Irma because they're right in the path of Irma. And, you know, they're like, yeah, this is not going to be good for us. I will say the only thing that was disconcerting for me whilst I was on this walk underneath the waves was that my tank apparently ran out. My air tank.
Of water?
Of air. Yeah. Well, so and
did
so
they the do that deliberately to kill you?
I don't know what was going on, but the guy sort of waves me over. So I walk over and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun little experience. What? And then there's a constant hiss of air coming into your helmet. And that just, somebody grabs my back and the airline cuts off. Mm. And I was like, well, this is not a good thing.
So did you have to levitate?
No, I just sort of, they said, if you're in trouble, wave your hands. So I started waving my hands around madly. And
how
then,
close did you come to death?
Close enough that it scared me.
Yes,
but
yes.
In reality, not very closely. So then I just hooked another tank up to me, and then I quickly made my way to the ladder and got out of the tank.
You climbed up on your own.
Yes.
Well, you're not wearing an iron suit,
no,
just an iron headset.
Iron lung.
Yeah. So it was.
So do you recommend the Bahamas for everybody who listens?
Absolutely.
So
yes.
I'm not ever going to the Bahamas.
Yes. No, it was.
Certainly
it was,
not getting in a tank with sharks voluntarily.
No. And in fact, next time I go, there's an island called Exuma, which is like about 45 minutes away from the from where
and
I was.
And you're going to swim there?
No, you take a charter plane and you go on the island for like the day, and they've got these pigs there. Like the horses.
Yes, you can swim with the pigs.
Yeah, the pigs swim. So you can swim with the pigs.
In Assateague?
Yeah, like Assateague.
I'd rather have elective surgery. I mean, truly.
Like, oh, you want to cut my arm open? Oh, that's
fine.
It
was brilliant, yeah.
This is the best show we're going to do all
year. Yeah, it's as good
now
as
we're, done with the open. We will come back with Michael Wilbon. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek Eat. We haven't done SeatGeek Read. Haven't done it in a while. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices. It's fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. This is baseball season at its best. The Nats are coming home against Philadelphia later in the week. If you're in the Washington area, you might want to use SeatGeek. If you're in the Miami area, you might want to use SeatGeek today to see if Giancarlo Stanton hits number 54, 55, and 56.
Tone, just very quickly, I use SeatGeek, and it was seamless. I landed in Los Angeles over the summer. I had to do something for CNN. Landed in Los Angeles, got on my phone the second the plane landed, got a ticket using the discount.
The Tony K discount.
Dodgers Giants right off the first baseline at Chavez Ravine. It was awesome and very easy.
As Chris can attest, SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices, find amazing deals to get you the most bang for your buck. SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Fully guaranteed, you can shop with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, as Crystal Liz have found out, listeners to this high-quality podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Settle it down, you're not on your own. It's just a little bit of time with a heavy load.
So I got this call yesterday, or a text rather, from David Curley at ABC News, who wanted to know who puts together the music that is heard at the end of the show. And I said, Nigel puts it together.
I like this a lot.
This is from Chris Hensley, who writes, I'm the bassist in the band formerly known as Brandon Kirkley and the Firecrackers. I say formerly known because we're in the middle of rebranding and renaming ourselves. We have three names we're currently mulling over. Bootsies, Mitzies, or Chatters, not Chatter. Your thoughts? Chatters is fantastic. Anyway, we're based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The song I've attached, Settle It Down, is a single off our last album. You can find our music on iTunes, Spotify, etc. We're currently mixing and mastering our next album to be released under our new name. Hopefully, I'll be writing back soon with more music you can feature on your show. That's from Chris Hensley, and the band was Brandon Kirkley and the Firecrackers.
Send me a box of that, Chris.
Gary Braun likes this a lot. We play in Michael Wilbon, who is back from Arizona. Not everybody goes to Arizona in late August, early September. Although, since the advent of air conditioning, more people do it. In the old days, only Gila monsters did it. Nobody else did it.
Occasional
monitor. So I know about you and weather, and I know what you feel about Washington, where we had, at least the last 2 days, very lovely days. How was the weather in Arizona?
I was fine, Tony. The temperature breaks twice there. Yeah. It has to. It breaks from the 109, 112 degree temperatures that you hear about in July and August. Monsoons drive them down. You know that. You've been out there.
Right, I've been there.
September.
Yes.
So it breaks once, and that gets it to 101, you know, which would, at 12% humidity, I find very playable. I
mean, you do? You can play?
Oh, oh God, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And then it breaks again, and usually next week, and as I look at the forecast, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be next week. It usually breaks after Labor Day, and so that one puts it in the 90s, and then it you know, becomes the place that people all of a sudden, you know, flock to. But no, people are not flocking there last week. Although, again, I know that, you know, it was great here.
It was nice.
This year. But
mostly,
you know, if you ask me, do I want 91 in Washington or 101 in Arizona, I'm going to take 101 in Arizona 100 times out of 100.
So because it is desert land, still mostly desert land,
what
is night like? Or does it not get under 85? Or does it get to like...
That's about... You got it. Tony, when it breaks, the thing is when you get the temperatures in the 90s, you're talking about evenings in the 60s. You got to get a sweater.
That's what I would think.
But not in July and August. July and August is hot, just hot, period.
So
it's
when
too hot. I don't go there. I've never been there.
You were there.
I'm not talking about August 31st. I'm talking about August.
So what is it like? Is it a ghost town? Is it like Rehoboth in March?
You know, it probably is close to that. You got to remember, we're talking about the sixth largest city in the country.
Yes, very big city.
So we're not talking about some place that, does it empty out? Yeah, to a great degree. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, second home owners who live there. A lot of Midwestern people who go back, who are in Chicago, who are in Iowa,
right,
in, you know, Indiana and in Wisconsin. A lot of cheeseheads. A lot of Canadians. You see a lot of tags, car tags. You'll see them coming back next month. Ontario tags.
Really? I would have, because I see a lot of those in South Florida. So I would have thought that,
well,
that you would get the Western
Canadians. Canada's a big enough place where people, yeah, a lot of them get out to get warm.
It's almost a
country. And so you'll see that. But yeah, you know, Tony, that's probably a fair analogy in that, put it this way, a desert mountain, I mean, there's nobody there. I mean, we had the golf course to ourselves Sunday.
Yeah.
When I say ourselves, I mean, I had a 10:30 tee time. I got there and the shop, they say, all right, you're the last guys out. The last ones, you know, lock up.
Did you have to sign a waiver?
And so it was great because you're the last one. There was like three groups of us at 10:30, 10:35, you know, 10:40 or whatever. And so that's probably a fair analogy. And people drift back now. You know, they look up and they look at the forecast and they figure out whether it's going to be cool enough for them to want to be there again. But you know, people have bailed all of July and August and gone, you know, from, you know, Oregon, and a lot of people, Seattle, a lot of Washington State, a lot of Oregon, a lot of Pacific Northwest people who come back. And Northern California, I played golf with one of them yesterday, Tony. You'll appreciate this. This is something I've really done in my life. I played a full 18 holes with a professional golfer.
Oh, really? Who?
Ricky Barnes.
Okay.
And it was just fun.
Did you ever get him off the tee? At any point, did you get him off the tee? Did you say,
no.
I got him?
No. Okay. No. But, no.
Right.
You know what? There might have been one moment of glory, but it was
because we should reveal to people that Mike and I have played a few times in recent days, and Mike has had trouble not off the ground but off the tee.
Not trouble, despair.
Well, yes, okay.
Despair.
I was being kind.
Despair.
Is it better?
So, it's a little better as the knee gets better. I went out there in large part to work with a therapist with the, on the knee.
Right.
Because until I get strength on the right leg, Tony, I can't get off the right side, as you
know.
That's
right. That's right.
And so that, you know, I had a three-hour session on Friday and with this with the therapist, the fabulous Denise. And, you know, it's better. I gotta do this. I gotta keep this up, or my golf is going to hell.
All right. So you were back yesterday.
No, I got back this morning at 6 a.m.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought
red
you were.
Eye.
Oh, okay. So did you watch any of the golf yesterday? Did you watch any of the fantastically
yeah.
good college football over the weekend?
I watched a little bit of golf. I watched more tennis than anything else.
Right.
Especially last night, I stayed up to watch. Oh God, the young American.
Del Potro?
No, the young American woman from Illinois.
Madison Keys.
Madison Keys. I stayed up and watched Madison Keys in a three-set thriller.
Right.
I did not watch Del Potro. I don't know what else I was watching. I might have been on a golf course, remember, with the three-hour time difference.
Right.
I was probably still out then. And so I watched more of that. I watched some college football. I mean, a large dose of that was watching my own guys.
So you won. You beat Nevada, right? You beat Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You know what's interesting about college football now? It's these things always imitate the professionals. We could talk about the differences between pro sports and college sports, and there are differences. But ultimately now, college basketball, college football, they imitate the big boys. And if you got a college football team and you can find a quarterback, and you can, and you get a big, fast receiver, and a guy could be a late bloomer, usually are at smaller schools, and you can spread the field a little bit, You can go out and play, which is probably what Howard discovered playing at UNLV when they won that game this weekend. And Northwestern, you know, our coaches were saying, you know, I was out there this summer. I tried to go to a practice or two, and they were saying, you know, they got this kid who's going to play in the NFL, and he can cause you problems. This is not going to be a run over just because it's Nevada. And it wasn't. As a matter of fact, we were down 17-7 in the third quarter, and came back and outscored them like 20-3 in the second half, or 24-3 or something like 24-3, I guess. So we won the game. It's a home game. It's the kind of game that always gives us trouble. We are slow starters. I don't know why. We got a quarterback that pro scouts are saying is going to be an NFL player next year or the year after. He's got 2 years of eligibility left, so we'll see.
So here's what I wanted to get to, because you have been, over the past X amount of years, 10, 15, 20 years, extraordinarily critical of the SEC conference for never playing anybody, and
that's right.
Big schools in general for never playing anybody. Ohio State, in your conference, went on the road, opened in conference, which is insane,
yeah.
And on the road. Texas, at home, hosts Maryland, gets drummed.
Oof.
Michigan and Florida play. Texas A&M opens in UCLA and
yeah.
Alabama and Florida State open at a neutral site. And I mean, I think that I think we have to look around and wonder, is it just money that causes that to happen? But at least give some credit to big schools. And I suspect, Mike, this is because there is a playoff with four teams, right?
It is.
Yeah.
The one loss would not knock you out.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, it strengthens the resume ultimately, as we know, as they, you know, have that particular selection committee debate these issues. And it's a few schools, Tony. Let's not get too carried away.
But it's really impressive.
Ohio State doesn't get any credit for playing a conference game that's scheduled early. You know, that was an option. It wasn't like the AD went out and had to recruit the Indiana game. The Indiana game is on the schedule.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be number one.
It does. Ohio State didn't control that.
Oh, that's...
The conference controls that.
That was odd to me.
Well,
okay.
I mean, first of all, the Big Ten has gone to now a 9-game conference schedule.
Because they have so many 13-14 teams.
We can't have as many non-conference games as we used to. I mean, Northwestern was supposed to play Stanford. Open. We had to move the non-conference games around because you got an extra conference game.
Okay.
So, the Stanford game goes away till next year, as does the Notre Dame game, because you're playing an extra game. So that's just our situation. And I'm sure it's the situation for Ohio State.
Ohio State now hosts in succession Oklahoma, Army, UNLV.
Oklahoma? Yeah. That is a big game.
So that's it. That's a non-conference
game. You say USC?
Right. But, no, you Army and UNLV.
What I'm saying is we are seeing at the beginning of seasons, much like with college basketball,
yes,
we're seeing real games. It's not just Wofford. It's not Wofford.
It's more.
I just used to criticize the SEC for not playing.
Seems like more now, though.
When Alabama played, Alabama has always been a little bit more assertive about it. There's going to be your games against Samford coming up. There's going to be
Troy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to those are going to happen. It's okay. I'm not saying you have to play a top five team every week. I'm just saying, let's not get carried away. I mean, these games, look, they used to have the Kickoff Classic and the Pigskin Classic and all that stuff, and now what they don't do is they don't allow you to have an extra game. That game used to be an extra game. Back when they were playing 12, you might play a 13th. That's no longer the case. You can't do that.
And to Wilbon's point, if you've got 9 conference games like they do in the Big Ten, you got to play someone.
I'm saying that the reason this happens now is a combination of two things. Money, obviously.
Yep.
But a 4-team guaranteed college playoff. Yes. So you don't have to be 12-0.
Right.
No, that's right.
And if you're going to lose one, let it be in August or September.
Lose it to a power team. Lose it to another Power 5 conference team. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. So that's what happens. You know what? Then this happens all the time as the sports calendar coincides largely with the school calendar. It feels like sports now, doesn't it, Mike? It feels like stuff's on.
To me, Labor Day is always New Year's Day in sports.
Yeah.
Labor Day Tuesday or Labor Day weekend because of now the football, college football, and because of the U.S. Open. And look, the NFL schedule used to start Labor Day weekend.
Doesn't now.
Doesn't. They pushed it back, you know, but to avoid a little bit of the glut, even though it's the NFL and they would dominate it. So you have all these things going on, and it signals to me it's the bell lap in baseball.
Yes.
And if you've got a team that's got, and it's only, it's only one division race, really. I mean, I guess the Yankees and Red Sox, that's a 5-gamer. And then the Cubs and Brewers / Cardinals, that's less. That's 3.5 now with the Cubs over the Brewers. And so, you're looking at the taking shape, real shape, of Major League Baseball. So, I mean, September 1 to me always meant everything in sports. It's New Year's Day.
It's great. I remember many, many years covering the U.S. Open and literally walking across the subway tracks to Shea.
Yeah.
You know, and covering that.
I remember covering the U.S. Open and then going on a Monday night to Giants Stadium.
That's right. That's right.
And it was great. I mean, you'd have that. And Tony... Tennis needs. I love tennis, and I know you have loved tennis in your life. It needs some stars, and it needs stars on both sides, especially if you're. We don't know what Serena's status now is, other than mom, and Venus can't. I mean, Venus has been out there forever. I mean, God bless her. I mean, she's one of the great players of all time. But at 36 or whatever, 37, whatever she is, she can't be out there forever. So you need some stars, and it's time for some of these people like. I was watching and cheering for Madison Keys, who's from Illinois, last night. And, Sloane Stephens is an interesting player in that she does not have the stature, I mean the physical stature, of most women in the game now who are 6 feet tall. And, the American women specifically, and there are 4 of them in the quarterfinals, I'm excited to watch that today and tomorrow to see how this turns out. Coco Vandeweghe, who is Kiki Vandeweghe's niece, and I don't even know. I'm forgetting who the 4th one is, but
no, you got them all: Sloane Stephens, Madison Keys, Venus Williams,
Venus and Coco Vandeweghe.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And you go out of that right into Thursday night, opening of the NFL season. So this is
it's good. Good time.
This is real stuff.
All right, we'll see you later. Thank you, Michael.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sort of like this beginning. Are there vocals to it?
I believe there are. Eventually.
Feels like the air we stop to breathe after running home.
Well, I like this.
Your hand.
It's a band called Far Beyond Frail.
I like that name,
too.
The
song is called Wonder.
That's right.
This is pretty good. At
good
the
song.
End of the show, you can hear the full songs of the people who contribute to the show. And Michael, for the first time in many months...
I've missed this.
I've been practicing.
If people want to get involved in the show and send us their original music, like Far Beyond Frail has done, how do they do it?
Please send your music to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
Nailed it.
And are we selling anything?
We are. What so there is there are some great Chatter restaurant t-shirts that are available for pre-sale on shop.tonykornheiser.com. We have some great hats as you enter this beautiful fall season that are on sale as well, and some cool challenge coins, little wrist bracelets, koozies, and we are also supporting a great Johnny O Tony K code. That as you are entering baseball playoffs, you might want to get a pullover or polo shirt.
I am wearing a Johnny O shirt today from the Washington Nats. They have the Major League Baseball contract to provide polo
shirts. Full disclosure,
it
takes a few weeks to arrive, so you want to get those orders in
now. John O'Donnell himself will be here next week. He will be on the show next week.
I was questioned heavily at Avenel among my playing partners for not wearing Johnny O. And I said, I have a lot of Johnny O long sleeves.
Right, but you don't have polos.
But I don't have polos. Oh, I also learned another thing in my golf education is how incredibly expensive golf wear is.
Yes.
That's why you want to use the discount code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tony K discount code on Johnny O is
I like to play full price.
You do? That's insane.
In the shop.
You're the only one. It's news time.
Got any $50 hats in here?
Nigel, can we explain to Nigel? We have a sign that says, it says, notice, this studio has gone, and then you fill in the days without Nigel screwing up. Gary, what happened at the beginning of the show?
At the...
Oh, here we go.
I'll just say Nigel screwed up.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show.
He hit the wrong button, playing the wrong jingle coming in. Literally the first second of the first show back.
What I don't understand is his computer just has the one button on it.
Right.
To minimize mistakes. It's just one giant button.
I'm also going to do this until people get sick of it, which is going to happen soon, but we are at Chatter open for breakfast.
Yes.
7 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, while we're doing the show, and I will let you know when we are dark, when we are not doing the
show.
I will let you know.
We typically start right around 8 a.m.
Yes, right around 8
a.m. We'd love to
see it. Except if I have to go to the gym and see Helen, I like to start a little bit earlier, and then I don't want to do a lot of pictures.
And he's all angst-ridden.
Because I want to, you know.
Pilates.
Get here early.
I'm a little bit angst-ridden. Actually, I saw my doctor, Chris Duke, at the driving range, because Chris was playing in a tournament. And I said, I've lost some weight, and I'm concerned I'm dying.
Well, you are dying.
And he said,
we all
just a matter
are.
How long it's
yeah,
going to
we
take.
All are.
He
yeah.
said, you look pretty good.
Yeah, I think
how do you
good.
Feel? And I said, I feel pretty good except for the wedges.
He said, it was a driving
don't
range.
Worry about it. Yeah, he said, don't worry about it.
I haven't seen you in a while, and you don't look
good.
You don't look creepy skinny.
You look less cadaverous than typical.
Yeah, you look good.
I think it's because I stopped cooking for you every weekend.
And I would like to have some food, and I don't have any food in my house. There is no food.
Would you
now, I could buy food. What do we have here?
If only you had a restaurant.
Yeah. If only I owned a restaurant and came here for dinner.
Some Tootsie Rolls?
Tootsie Rolls. Yeah. Oh, great. That's great.
I like how Nigel got them from behind the computer. Yeah. That's a good spot.
Keep some warm.
It's with that homemade salsa.
What news do we have?
Before we start the news proper, I was remiss. I need to thank Jessica Rocheford, who took these wonderful pictures that I showed you in the break of me and the Sharks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would not go anywhere near
you. And his son, Matt, who was very instrumental in me getting into the Shark Tank, sort of calmed me down a lot, because it was quite scary. So thank you, Jessica and Matt. And yes, we will start with baseball, Mr. Tony.
Yes.
One of the rarest feats in baseball, hitting four home runs in a game. It's only been done 18 times.
By the way, by some people who you don't know, Scooter Jeanette did it earlier this
hard
season.
Hitting Mark Whitten did it one time.
Yeah. That's right. So it's not all Willie Mays.
No.
It's almost never those guys. Almost never those guys.
But J.D. Martinez is the latest to join this group.
Who, by the way, was on the Tigers till about 3 hours ago, and then went to Arizona.
I thought he was still on the Tigers. No. I saw it last night, and I was like, there's another guy named
If
Jamie
you remember when he was traded, he cried because he liked Detroit so much, and now he's hit four home runs for Arizona, which appears to be a team in the playoffs.
Yes,
Arizona appears to be. And in fact, now that Harper is out, and if Miami doesn't make the playoffs, I don't think they will, I think that Goldschmidt will be the MVP in the league.
Probably.
He's taking a team to a playoff.
Yeah, and he's having a really good year.
Playoffs are important.
God.
He's top 10 in homers, RBI, and batting average. Yeah, he is. And Stanton is going to get 63 to 65.
He's ahead of the next guy by Aaron Judge is 38. He now has 53.
Watching the Nats last night.
I mean, that was a
bomb. AJ Cole. By the way, can I say this about AJ Cole? I don't want to get too local. take that stupid silver chain off, okay? Or just, yeah, stop it, because it's bad looking at this point. I mean, just tuck it in. I'm for chains, but tuck it in. He threw a pitch. They were up 3-1 or 4-1.
3-1.
He threw a pretty good pitch, and Stanton went opposite field for a home run.
It went about 5,000 feet high.
Wow. He's got 53. I mean, there's 25 games left.
He's going to finish 63-65, and I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be automatically assumed he's not on steroids. He'll be the first guy with that number automatically assumed not to be on steroids, and I hope that's true.
He's always been huge. Big. I mean, he's a huge human. We would, when our seats in right field, we would go, and he'd be out there playing. He is one of the largest human beings I've ever. I mean, he's just giant.
He is. He is. Went opposite field. Daniel Murphy had a good game. He went 3-for-5. He had a single, a double, and a home run, and the Nats did well, won the game. What else you got?
To the National Football League, which will be starting up this.
Thursday?
Yeah. Thursday night, New England. Kansas City.
And will Goodell will be at that game or no? Has he already made an appearance up in New England? He
I believe he's going to the game.
I think he's going to that game, and I can't wait for that reception. It's not going to be warm.
It won't be. But locally, for where we do the show, the Washington Redskins have an interesting situation with safety. How do you pronounce his first name?
Sua
Cravens.
This is a kid from USC.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a highly rated
second round pick.
Yeah. They wanted to make him the starting safety, and he has a little bit of an injury. But he came to camp, to the offices over the weekend and said to the front office, "Look,
I'm done.
I'm going to retire." He's only 22. He's one of the youngest players in the league.
By the way, he went AWOL a couple of times at USC and seems to walk to his own dotted line.
He once at USC. Two fun facts about Sua Cravens. Well, one fun fact about Sua Cravens, one fun fact about my beloved Washington Redskins. He went missing for 3 days at USC after suffering an injury.
Yes.
Just AWOL. The fun skins fact, they drafted him without knowledge of that. Somehow, in their awesome background search, they missed the part where the guy disappeared for half a week during the season.
No big deal. So so apparently the front office, Allen has said, look, we'll give you a month. We're going to put you on
Bruce
the,
Allen, who really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Hopefully he called him by the right name.
Put him on the inactive list.
We have no idea why, right? It's just he was injured and we don't know. But
all he has said on Snapchat, Instagram.
Instaface.
Yeah, Snapgram. He said that he needed to do what made him happy. So he hasn't made a final decision, but essentially that's
why I do this.
So here's a quote from Chris Thompson in a piece about Sua Cravens, and it says running back Chris Thompson doesn't know Cravens well, but he said Sunday after practice he was praying for the second round pick. And we don't have to care about the praying part. But here's an interesting quote. This is from Thompson. That's the tough part about being professional athletes. We're not looked at as being regular human beings. We're basically looked at as these objects running around on a field or on a court and making a lot of money and putting smiles on people's faces that love their teams. That's what it is. And it's sad because it has to be that way because we're humans and we're just regular people. Now, I like that quote a lot, but you're not regular people. I mean, you're not. You're entertainers, and you're not regular people.
You also make
and you're being paid
100 times
what regular people made.
In the case of Sua Cravens.
But we don't have any idea why he's doing this, although what is interesting is it doesn't seem to shock any of his teammates who are, quote.
He had apparently talked about retiring at some point last season.
How
he hasn't responded well to injuries in the past. Remember, this is the guy who, after he suffered a concussion early last season, went on Twitter and said he had permanent vision loss. And
so,
do you remember that?
Get out of the game.
Yeah. Oh, right. I forgot that was
get out of the game.
Said,
it's not for
not
you.
The case. And
it's not for you.
Do you think that I'm just thinking of the guy who the second year player retired. How can you not, if you're a professional football player, be aware of the now? That study that the New York Times wrote about over the week, over the summer, you know, it was like 999 out of 1,000 brains that had CTE.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not, at some point, how much money is enough money? I'm not saying this is Sua Cravens. I'm just saying for every guy who plays a position where you're, which is basically every position in the NFL. How do you not say, make some kind of calculation that, okay, I now have
enough
$15 million in the bank.
The problem, The problem is it'll start earlier than that when parents are like, you know, and it's I think it's going on right now where parents are starting to make the decision to say, you're not
high school football teams are drying up.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's so
going to be that 20 years.
I was playing golf with somebody last week who said the salvation of football is going to be no helmets at all. It's going to be rugby-like sport.
Oh, interesting.
And that's because
then you can't hit.
It's going to be.
And how long does that take? Given that, given its cultural roots,
not
particularly
my
in the
lifetime.
South,
maybe
50 years, 20 years, 30 years.
I think we're closer.
Longer than it will take for the sport to die once they do that.
I think it's closer to 20 to 30 than it is to 50.
I mean, that's remarkable when you consider how much money it makes.
That's what's going to happen. What else?
The U.S. Open, Mr. Tony. We are to the quarterfinal round.
Wilbon was talking about
The men. Nadal, Federer. That we're still lined up for a semifinal match with those two.
That's a shame that it's in the semis.
Yeah, it really is. The other side of it, Sam Querrey, Kevin Anderson, and two.
Kevin Anderson, I thought he was the AD at Maryland.
Ken Anderson,
different guy.
Yeah, from South Africa.
Okay.
Two guys that you've never heard of, Booster and Schwartzman, in the other quarterfinal.
Jason Schwartzman, he was in Rushmore.
He's got a great
They're my agents.
Now,
Booster and Schwartzman.
On the women's side of things, there are four U.S. women still alive.
Yes, we talked about this. Did you pay attention to Wilbon?
No, I wasn't. So,
there you go. We talked about.
There you go. I should also point out that the Bryan brothers are still alive in the doubles round. And I need
Why is that important?
Because I need to take this opportunity to apologize to the Bryan brothers.
What happened?
You don't know this.
When you were working in the City Open?
Yes,
did you do? Did you do something wrong?
Yes, I did something terribly
what
wrong.
What a surprise.
Did you do? So they didn't have the board for me to correct at that point. But I was announcing winners and losers for a match, and they had lost this match. And I'm on the PA for this particular court. And I said, let's give a big round of applause to their winners and, you know, big round of applause. And also, let's give it up for their opponents today. And the
Doobie Brothers.
Yes, no, and I named one of them. It's not Bob. I named him Ben. I said, and Ben, Mike, and Ben Bryan.
Who are they?
And it's and they both let me have it on the way out.
Oh, no.
Like that's not my bleeping name.
At least they were gracious.
Yeah. So it was my full apologies to you, Bob Bryan, for getting that wrong.
Do you have anything else, or is that?
I know you wanted to talk about Justin Thomas. Did you want to mention him?
I just think that Justin Thomas, who looks and dresses. I mean, different brands, but looks so much like Jordan Spieth. I mean, they really...
I thought they really look alike.
Their hairlines are even similar at this point.
What God's name
and,
is this?
Justin Thomas won the second of four FedEx Championship.
He's player of the year.
He's player of the year. I want to say this. And this is, I think, to me, very important with golf. And golf is making a tremendous mistake, and it is the same exact mistake that auto racing makes when they get to the finals. Golf needs, if you have only the top 30 people in the finals at Eastlake, where I've played in Atlanta, the winner is your champion. I don't care what they've done the rest of the year. The winner is your champion. Or get the field small enough that the winner is your champion. You cannot let somebody walk away with $10 million who finishes 14th.
That's right.
You cannot do it. The winner, Michael, is you're looking me askance. Do you not agree with me on
No,
this?
I think that's fine. I think it would be great to have a small, limited field event to finish out that season.
Just the winner. Everybody who qualifies, everybody who's good, everybody who has won, you must make. It's the same with that last race in NASCAR.
It's just so counterintuitive.
The winner is your winner.
That's make the last thing be of value, of the highest value.
So Justin Thomas is really good, and he won that thing. I mean,
you missed the big story yesterday. Mark Leishman on the 18th hole hitting his third shot.
Through the legs of the cameraman.
And the cameraman has to jump out with his leg out of the way in the best feat of athleticism of the day.
It was great.
That's the story.
I don't know. I mean, obviously they're good enough to do this, but while I was playing golf over the weekend, I just don't know how I know Michael has, but have you played in events where there is any kind of gallery where the fear of hitting
people? I've done
it once.
I was terrified.
I mean, Michael is so good. It doesn't matter, right? Well, you get to a certain point, you know where it's going. But me, I mean...
Yeah, I always tell people, do not be in front of me or to the sides of me. You can be behind me unless I turn around. Or unless I'm near a tree. Do not be behind me. Do not be anywhere near me, please.
For
your own safety.
One of the guys I played with, Ed Wu, who's the head of vascular surgery for MedStar Health, is a big wheel. He came within... I've never seen this. He came within 2.5 inches of a hole-in-one on a par three.
Nice.
It was right on line.
Number 9?
It missed. Yeah, on 9. That uphill, where you're hitting it uphill.
It's downhill.
Downhill,
but then uphill.
Oh, well, you go from the tee box to the green.
I hit from the kids' tees. Yeah, I hit from the kids' tees.
Bob Dolan, I mean, less than a foot away on number 13 on Sunday. Less than a foot away from hole in one. Less than a foot away.
Have you?
No.
Never.
Never.
Have you?
No, but I've been in groups.
Where somebody jarred it?
Yeah, and it's tremendously exciting. You're almost as excited as they are.
I was excited for him.
I've been as close as a foot. I've been as close as a foot,
but on a par three, right? Like,
of course, well,
you drive the green on a par four, but roll it up there.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's impossible. All right, we good?
Yes.
Let's get out of here. We will take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio, in which I could be tempted to talk about the Purple Line, the disaster that is the Purple Line. What they're the arrogance of the Hogan administration is beyond the pale. I'll get to that later. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron ad. I'm glad to be doing Blue Apron again. I hope this continues. In fact, I'd like, particularly in the fall and the winter, I'd like to subscribe to Blue Apron again, if that's possible. I am a big fan. I like cooking. I like...
I like the knickknacks.
We get too many shallots, because I'm not a big shallot guy, but I'm a big fan of making Blue Apron. It's affordable for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's a variety, new recipes every week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so that's at least 365 of them. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. That's flexibility, homes. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your need. There's no weekly commitment. You get only the deliveries when you want them. It's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Now, a cautionary note on this. It does come step-by-step, and it is technically easy, but you've got to be involved. I mean, it is going to seem a little bit overwhelming at first. You're going to get through it and be happy about it. And it's guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. They know you're busy right now. They're offering 30-minute meals. These meals are made with the same flavor and farm-fresh ingredients you know and love. They're ready in 30 minutes or less. Check out this week's menu. Here's the deal. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. That is blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is I'm Never Going Back to My Old School. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Walter Becker and Daniel Fagan, right?
That's right.
They are Steely Dan. Walter Becker died over the weekend, 67 years old. They were, in the way that I think of the Kinks as being the smartest rock and roll band in England, Steely Dan is the smartest rock and roll band in the United States of America. They were jazzy, they were easy to listen to, they are, because Fagan says he's going to keep touring. Their lyrics were meaningful, every word meant something, and they were good. They were really good. I'm not sure it's an acquired taste. They're not the Beatles. I mean, they're not, you know, but they're really good. They're really good.
This song, Miles School.
Never Going Back to Miles School.
Apparently inspired by the fact that Fagan and Becker, who met while they were in college at Bard College in upstate New York, I guess, they were busted in some
Is Bard upstate or is it in New York City?
Annandale, New York? Isn't that upstate?
I don't know. I mean, Annandale, Virginia.
Virginia, yes. Yeah. But apparently there was some pot party, and really? They were raided, amazing. And they were arrested, and the district attorney who was behind that apparently was G. Gordon Liddy, believe it or not.
Is that right?
So that's where the origins for this song comes from.
I know they say, oh no, Guadalajara
Dutchess
won't do.
Tony.
Oh no,
Dutchess
William
County.
Mary won't do. Dutchess County,
Hudson
right?
Valley,
so yeah, the next one up.
Oh, okay, so it's not upstate.
Two counties up. No, it's not upstate. But it's not Binghamton.
The Beatles made me think. Did you listen to? You have Sirius XM.
I do.
Do you listen to the Beatles channel?
I have listened
18?
To it. Yeah.
They did a top 100 beat. They did it all Labor Day weekend. They just ran it over and over again. Peter Asher hosted it.
Peter Asher, whose sister was Paul McCartney's girlfriend, Jane Asher.
And whose...
My sweet lady Jane, as Mick Jagger wrote about.
And whose mother, her father was a music professor.
I think it's important to distinguish between the mother and the father.
Yeah, well, it's one or the other. Parent yeah. who taught them all these instruments. Anyway, they did a top 100 countdown, which
was
totally fascinating. I never really listened to one, but Let It Be was, I was never in the car for it. Let It Be was 10, which I thought was deeply, and Yesterday was 9.
Day in the Life, maybe, number one?
I think Day in the Life is probably 1. Golden Slumbers, that whole chain was 5. So from
And Your Bird Can Sing should be number 2.
Let me look it up.
And Your Bird Can Sing is fantastic.
By the way, another fact about Steely Dan, before they became Steely Dan, and they're just trying to form different groups, one of the groups they had Chevy Chase as their drummer.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
So wow, he would have been the world's tallest drummer.
He would have been very tall.
Well, no, and Mick Fleetwood is the world's tallest drummer, actually.
And their naming is an interesting story, but probably not safe for work.
Probably not safe for work. All right, so let me get to a few things here, which let me just start with the Purple Line. The Purple Line, now I know...
Reset it for people. It's been a while.
The Purple Line is a disaster in the making. The Purple Line is a light rail system that is going to go from College Park to Bethesda. No one will ride it. It will cost billions of dollars. No one will ever ride it. It's going to go right. It's going right through the golf course at Columbia. So I have personal interest in this. I have never tried to hide personal interest in this. It is a disaster for everyone concerned, and it is now there are lawsuits still pending. And what they are going to do? There's a hiker biker trail that is used by a lot of people, including kids going to schools. And if they don't use this and they have to go on Connecticut Avenue or Wisconsin Avenue, it's much more dangerous.
What about the children? You're always focused on that.
I'm for the kids.
Always have been.
So now it's going to go through and they're going to have it and everybody's made their peace with it, including me to some degree. But here's the arrogance. Here's the incredible arrogance. Once they got the go-ahead to build it and they sunk the shovels in the ground last week, they announced, Larry Hogan's administration and Maryland announced, the hiker-biker trail will be closed as of today for 4 to 5 years.
Oops.
So they gave people warning of the Labor Day weekend, and that's all. So there are people out in force yesterday all over that thing, hiking, biking. And what they're quoted as saying is, well, I'm for the Purple Line, but I'm really going to miss this. Well, then chain yourselves to the fences. Get out there and chain yourselves to the fences and stop the immediate clear-cutting of 100-year-old trees all over this hiker-biker trail, which is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it is going to be an environmental disaster, and you're never getting the trail back.
So
I don't think I'm wrong on
this. So you have environmental concerns and then concerns about the children. Two big ones.
At the risk...
Not golf.
At the risk of accelerating your spontaneous combustion.
Right. Read the stories in the paper today. Watch the stories online that everybody is so upset about. Even Roger Berliner says, well, I didn't think they'd close the trail this quickly. Really? When did you think it would happen? Am I wrong on this, Chris? It's tremendous arrogance to just inform people.
Yes.
By the way, on Tuesday, September 5th, you're done.
It's what
for 4 to 5 years.
It's what people don't like about government, which is unexpected intrusion into their lives. But your turn on Larry Hogan has been... You were pro Larry Hogan
when he was against the Purple Line.
Right,
now,
right.
I am moved by self-interest. At least I say this.
True.
I'm moved by self-interest here.
What is the plan for the golf course?
It's going to be fine.
Move holes, reroute.
Yeah, it's going to be fine, right, Michael? It's going to be fine.
The biggest impact will be on the 14th hole because it's going to have to shift one of our most interesting and architecturally relevant greens. But the golf course will be fine.
Yeah.
I think a lot of listeners, the bigger point here is that Dad has been a resident of this area for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you see the way that the community uses this trail, it's what you want in a highly densely populated urban area. And it really is sad to see. You look and you see old couples walking together, biking together. You see kids.
And now they'll be run down by lumberjacks cutting down every tree that's existed for 100 years.
So let me ask my question more specifically. I understand the course will be fine.
It'll be fine.
Ultimately. But so how what is it? So they sort of build a new green first, and then when they come in and tear it up, then you're going towards that.
Like I don't know.
How is the transition?
Like, I never know. I don't even know.
Would there be any period of time when the course is down?
Yes. So the building of the train will be a huge impact in terms of play, just because this goes 100 feet on either side.
Will you lose access for any period of time?
No, I don't think you'll lose access. You'll just be
narrow holes
heard by workers out in force.
Yeah, take out a but you're four able iron to, and a low screamer.
Yeah, arm yourself with a three iron. At this Stinger. Point, Gary,
hit it you off can, the big digger.
Yeah. You can map any green complex down to just the smallest margin to recreate that putting surface. That's not the biggest impact will be other golfers who are going to happily say, oh, this golf course is lesser without really giving it a chance or looking at
site of
how
the
it
U.S.
manages.
Open.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Historical site.
Roger Berliner. Let me guess. Tacoma Park. Let me think.
By the way, just to circle back.
It's a very loaded comment.
Number one song. Yes. Number one song in the Beatles Countdown
Michelle,
was
we get it.
As Nigel predicted. Day in Life. Two, In My Life. Is. Three, Hey Jude. Four, The Abbey Road. End of Abbey Road. Five, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Here's a quote. I believe the county had great foresight in purchasing the site, and the need for public transit certainly has not decreased. But the fact that the state is moving forward so quickly has caught everybody off guard. There's been little time. Off guard. They're probably cutting it down now.
Oh, I would think
probably
they would be.
Things down. And that's not even the thing I'm most exercised about. Now I'm going to tell you something that not even my son knows, because I have kept this from my son.
Mm.
Okay?
I'm excited about
this. We have a small vegetable patch of tomatoes and jalapeno peppers that never came through in the little house, a small little garden. This is the second year of the little garden. Now, a mistake was made that we did not, because the deer eat this all the time.
Right.
We did not go up with netting, right, Michael? We have to go
correct.
Netting.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were
mostly
made.
Mostly by me.
But even after the deer came through and ravaged the tomatoes on a regular basis, almost a weekly basis, almost something you could plot on a graph, because every time you looked and you saw, oh, we're getting some tomatoes, they were gone. But around a week ago, I had noticed that we had about 6 to 10 tomatoes, and they're not large tomatoes because they were Campari tomatoes, right? Grown from seed, Campari tomatoes. 6 to 10 on three of the four plants. 6 to 10.
On each or in aggregate?
Just a total. Not a lot. None of them were turning. All of them were green. And I just thought, well, this is fun. I'll watch these develop because I like to do that. I went out the next morning. They were all gone and they were picked.
Mm. Picked?
They were picked. This is
what?
Burglary.
Oh, that's that.
This is burglary by definition. Someone entered the property of a house they have no claim to and picked all the tomatoes.
Is there a fence or anything around the property?
No.
What did 911 say?
Because
when
I did not call.
What?
Because if these were animals, there'd be parts of these tomatoes on the ground.
Yes.
I went through hands and knees.
Now, this is a monkey.
These were stolen. Mm. This is burglary of the first order. And you're going to say, oh, stop it. It's just tomatoes. Okay. But it is
slippery slope.
Right.
Now, there are people who walk through that alley, and they could keep their eye on the tomatoes. There's people. And I am forced to conclude these are my neighbors of some form. Someone, neighbors of some form have picked these. What do I do about this?
Yeah, well, you obviously first, go to door-to-door confronting them.
I'm not looking for green tomatoes.
You walk door-to-door. You knock on the door with your gun.
I don't have a gun.
What?
Yeah, I don't have
gub.
A gun.
You know what it usually starts with?
Gum.
It starts
do I have to put a fence up?
It starts with picking tomatoes.
Do I have to put searchlights?
I think landmines.
Barbed wire?
Put a fence up and get the neighbors
be
to pay for
to
it.
Just buy tomatoes.
Put a fence up, right? Get the neighbors
fence.
To pay for it.
Yes, you should.
But I think an animal
weapon
ate those
system.
Tomatoes.
Why do you think that?
I just think an upper northwest animal has had the education and the background to
so
pick
true.
A tomato.
But
I think the opposable thumb
cultured animal.
There should be no question that this is burglary. Because you would find scraps then. And by the way, I had one and only one jalapeno pepper.
Oh, nice.
And it had a hole in it that had been a boring hole.
A worm?
Probably.
I'm telling you, the jalapeno peppers I'm getting from the plant are the size of the back half of this microphone. I mean, there's that. They are that.
What do I
big.
Do? What do I do about this? I did not call 911. I felt that was too much.
What?
To call the police.
Well, you've underestimated it.
Someone has burgled my Campari tomatoes.
Yes.
Are
you
there's nothing
certain
you can do.
It was a human?
Of course he is.
You're well, certain.
Tell me the choices. What are the choices?
Well, robot. Human or animal.
A robot.
Here's what you do. As Gary said, you go door to door, right? And you say, unless you can prove to me that you didn't take
I'm assuming
them,
you
I am taking
true.
Three items from your house.
Yeah, I think
and that will make it right.
Fair.
6 to 10 tomatoes.
That's appalling.
in there.
Probably eating them right now.
No, I mean, it's just the fact that somebody would see these and be like, well, I know that's not mine. That's not even my property. And yet I would just stroll over
there
and
put them. I'm going to put an electrified fence.
How close to your property line are there? Is it possible it was a misunderstanding?
Good Lord,
like that they were just open?
No, not at all.
What are you talking about?
You've been there.
Yeah. It's 10 feet from my house.
I don't remember where the tomato plants were. I was too busy getting lessons from Michael on how to grill.
10 feet from the house.
Oh.
Somebody walked. It doesn't matter. Someone walked into someone else's property and removed food.
Here's what you do. Yes. You go, you knock on the door. First person who opens it, you punch him in the face.
I'm not
you say,
doing
let
that
be a lesson to the rest of
I'm
you.
Not doing that.
Biggest guy in the yard. It's what I did when I was
Better
in prison.
One. Go to the refugee Safeway.
I remember that.
Get the most overripe tomatoes you can find. As soon as they open the door, just say, you want a tomato? Here's a tomato. And just bash it right in their face. Yep.
Throw tomatoes.
Yeah, maybe
and apples. Yeah. How about these apples?
Yep, that could work.
All right, I'm just saying.
Man, all summer you would wait for those tomatoes.
I'm just saying.
You were going to have a side salad. You'd waited all summer.
That's burglary. That's burglary.
People are thieves.
We're out of here. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's Razors ad. We haven't done Harry's Razors in a long time. Everybody here has the Harry's Razor. Everybody uses the Harry's Razor.
Great.
Everybody's happy with this. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades. They're going to give you a trial set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/TonyK. All you have to do is pay for shipping. That's harrys.com/TonyK. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys, and some women as well, I'm sure, have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with buying overpriced razors, started Harry's to fix shaving. They brought their own German factory with 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor, selling directly to you over the internet. You can claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/TonyK right now. That is harrys.com/TonyK.
You're listening
to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So you've been using the same dry cleaner now for so long, Tone. I hear they're putting a glorified book stand where your clothes get cleaned and pressed. Boo-hoo, your cleaners won't be right in line with the bank and the CVS.
John Fitzpatrick can rhyme. Smart rhymes.
We're not surprised to hear just how temperamental you get as your aging life declines. 'Cause anybody who has heard your podcast knows it's about an old man who whines. Kornheiser, I know that change is killing you. Oh, Kornheiser,
this is one of my favorite Elvis Costello songs, Allison.
That was a great rendition.
It's really good. John Fitzpatrick is really good. And he gave Michael and Liz a wonderful, wonderful gift for which they are grateful and I am grateful. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, SeatGeek, Harry's Razors, and Blue Apron. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. So everybody's podcast thing will ding today, right? Because they'll have a new one. Is that how that works?
Yes.
Nigel actually just calls everyone who subscribes. Hey, new podcast.
From Chad, a haiku. English major rock, smooth as silk and smart as hell. Rest in peace, Walter. That is for Walter Becker of Steely Dan. Evan Salastro in Phoenix, Arizona. Recently, I've noticed my TKH parents have a forget Paris-like habit of talking and taking in the supermarket circulars from the mail or newspaper out and reading aloud the specials, not really speaking to anyone in particular, rather more akin to a town crier announcement. You have to speak loudly over the Hallmark Channel movies and mysteries, you know. Just curious if Grandpa does this and is Chessie listening. No, I don't, not circulars. I just sort of wander around the house and talk out loud. I mean, that's all I do. I talk to the dog. The dog listens. The dog puts its ears up and looks at me because the dog is aware I'm doing something, but is not aware of exactly
potential
what it
food
is I'm
doing. Situation.
This is from Kevin Kosky in Southeast. Bigger blockbuster summer trade. The Nats moving Trinan for Doolittle or Mattson, or Tony finally trading away the Trinan-esque Chris Seliza for John Heilemann.
Yeah.
What an upgrade. Great work. Whoever's GMing the ship over there at the corner of Jetville, Wisconsin.
You know, words hurt. Words hurt.
Chris is here.
Heilemann is bigger, more famous.
You're
I have nothing, way more hair than
you're
that
our
guy.
Boy.
Nothing to worry about, but can I talk to you
you're
after the show?
You're our boy.
It's fine.
From Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland. So someone said you needed to keep the show's pilot light lit. Did you ask to meet with the pilot light beforehand? Talk to it? Calm your nerves? From Mark Courier in Ellicott City, Maryland. Just checking if we can get an update from Kip Sheeman on the impending Hurricane Irma. I know Kip has been busy calling Maryland football games on the radio, but don't let him big time the littles.
Cat 5.
By the way, isn't that wonderful that he called the Texas... It's Maryland's greatest win in a million years in football.
Very
it was a great game.
Yes. Not very happy with Iceland.
No.
But other than that...
You can
category,
have Reykjavik.
Category 5 now.
Yes, Category 5.
Cat 5. The forecast for the Buccaneers
this
at
is
Dolphins
fantastic.
On Sunday. I just looked at this in the Weather Channel. 85 degrees, 80% humidity, 80% chance of precipitation, winds. Want to take a guess? 109 miles an hour.
That's just
might be
so
tough.
You might not want to start
on the
your
running
fantasy
game.
Kicker.
Well, how do you think on the running game?
Well, Cutler can deal with that, right?
Yeah, I think they'll have to move that one.
So about a month ago, this is from John Agliata in Wentzville, Missouri. About a month ago, I'm driving home from work, normally a 45-minute commute, listening to the podcast, and minding my own business. A police... had a car pulled over. A policeman had a car pulled over on the right shoulder, and of course, all of the stupid idiots decide to look. I notice out of the corner of my eye a car getting really close to me and looked over to see him looking at the cop. I turned around to face forward and move out of this dolt's way and wham, smashed into the car in front of me. As I dug my face out of the airbag, watching my wrist swell and saw my car smoking and pouring fluid all over the highway, with the gang playing in the background. I'm sure you were funny, but I wasn't laughing. An ambulance ride, wrist contusion, and whiplash later, my awesome commuter car with TK bumper sticker would declare total. Since then, I've been getting 3 days a week treatment for my neck, driving around in a new-to-me Nissan Venza or Versa. Hardly a Mr. Tony car, and something has been amiss. I figured it out. No bumper sticker. Would you mind? We have to send a bumper sticker to show loyalty off the air. So take care of that. We have to send a bumper sticker. From Bill Marcus in Marin County, California, on my way out of DTW yesterday. Is that, what is DTW?
DFW?
No, DTW it says. That's Dallas-Fort Worth, I know.
Yeah.
I ran
is it
into
Detroit?
A guy wearing...
Detroit Airport?
Detroit. Ran into a guy wearing a Calvert Woodley wine shirt, which is exactly what Gary is wearing.
Sure, I am.
It's Detroit.
I immediately shouted La Cheeserie and he smiled. However, he did not appear amused when I gave him the TK salute. Well, always nice to flip off a millennial, I guess. I was in my neighborhood. I was walking Chessie 2 days ago, and a car pulls up next to me, and two kids lean their heads out, front seat and back seat, and go La Cheeserie. It was like, that was really nice. That's like street cred. I really like that. All right, we're out of here. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thank you so much for coming. Woo! Thank you. Thank you.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Settle it down, you're not on your own. It's just a little bit of time with a heavy load. Loosen up, baby, I'll have a seat in your mind. It'll get better. Settle down.
just steal that time. Don't let it get you down. Are they moving to town? You've got a fresh restart deep in that pounding pot. Just got to roll.
Stop to breathe after running, holding your hand, holding my hand. That starlit night when we almost happen like these make me need to know if you still think. I'd love